This is CBC News. From CBC Toronto, the midday news. Good afternoon. I'm Robert Fisher. In downtown Toronto, cloudy skies. The present temperature is 5 degrees. The morning after the night before, and they're now reading the tea leaves of the Quebec election results across Quebec, in Ottawa, and at Queen's Park. The Parti Québécois was turfed from power, and in doing so, Quebecers made clear their rejection of a referendum on sovereignty, and now for some time into the future as well. And that has left many PQ faithful this afternoon considering some very tough questions. The CBC's Bernard Saint-Laurent.
In the Parti Québécois, people are already saying, do we still keep as article number one of our party the goal of bringing about independence for Quebec? And if they do, in what way are they going to go about doing that? If you add to that the fact that the party now is divided between nationalist conservatives and progressive social democrats, the argument was that they would always stay together until Quebec became a country. Then the party would faction off the way it would in other countries. It's very difficult to imagine how they can pull that off now when there are other political forces rising in the province who are not looking at sovereignty as the primary issue. We could see a change in Quebec politics from federalist separatist to left-right.
The CBC's Bernard Saint-Laurent in Montreal. To a $32 million investment over 3 years.
Listen, what's the title of this thing? No title again?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Okay, gonna stop it there. Whoa, hang on there, baby. That, if you don't know it, is David Bowie, Love is Lost, from a newish, new to me, CD, album, The Next Day. And it's got extra attached, so maybe there's a whole other CD, so maybe that's what the extra is about. I got this last night with my Petro-Canada points. I'm thrilled about that. I've been on the phone 3 times trying to link up my CIBC MasterCard with Petro points and my Petro-Canada points card. Something that should have been very easy, and it finally took quite a while over the telephone to link the two. So now suddenly, whoa! I've got 100,000 points, which I've had all along. I've earned it because every time I buy gas with my CIBC Petro-Canada card, this is not a commercial, although it could be, I get 2 cents off per liter, which is a nice start. And then these points rack up. So in the past, I've just sort of used them to buy, a Lotto 649 ticket or something. Of course, that never gets me anything. And then when I saw this offer come through, there's a whole new digital. You can get ebooks and audiobooks and movies. Oh, nice. So I went through their catalog thinking it'd be very limited, and everything is there. Tons of old Stone stuff. I was really hooked on the Stones. I thought, no, I don't. There's a couple missing from my Bowie collection, Bowie Bowie Ice. It's like a buffet. And I know there's a right way to say it, but I don't know what it is. David Bowie, I call it. David Bowie. David Bowie. I loved him, especially my time in Vancouver. So when I was back in Vancouver, living with my girlfriend at the time, and a whole chapter of my life I don't talk about often on the Dixon James podcast, and I should. It will certainly feature heavily in my book. That period of the 70s when I went out there and by train in 1972, left home, headed west, and resettled in the west coast. Pretty wild days, they really were. Most of the 70s I spent out there, a good part of it anyway, on and off, moving here and there. A lot of it in North Vancouver, which I loved. Anyway, I had pinups, changes, Aladdin Sane, Ziggy Stardust, all those early boy albums. And we used to play them over and over and over. I had a little portable a Motorola record player with detachable speakers. It was a good little sound system my father had bought for me for one of my birthdays. It was great. I got a lot of mileage out of that. And it all folded up almost like a suitcase size, and you could just open it up, pull down the turntable, and space the speakers across the room, and there you went. I had a wonderful little apartment in North Vancouver on West 2nd with bay windows. I've mentioned this before, I know. Overlooking the new sea bus that came across, taking you to downtown Vancouver, where you'd meet up with your buddies at the Cambie Hotel and get drunk on a Friday night. Anyway, these albums played over and over again. So there was a few tracks I was missing here and there. I've got so many best of Bowie that I've got most of the tracks covered. But there was a couple, so you will be hearing some David Bowie cuts on this album, and it's purely for, or this podcast, purely for my own listening pleasure, taking me back to my carefree, drunken stone days in Vancouver in the 70s. Just after I finished university in Montreal. Okay, one thought that's been on my mind, it comes up every 2 or 3 months. You've heard it before, so be patient. When I'm meeting people who aren't familiar with podcasts, or, oh yeah, I've heard of those, I listen to Quirks and Quarks, or these things, you know, and they don't understand. No, there's a whole amateur genre of podcasts out there that just are interesting, and it's people raising their lone voices. Or there's couple cast, there's special focus. But anyway, it's a whole new area. And I mentioned on the last Canadian Podcast Buffet, which I did with Anthony Marco, not out yet, but should be very soon, as soon as Will gets to it. I talked about how people talk about social media and all this stuff. In the university context, I was at a conference, and no mention is made of podcasts anywhere. And it drives me nuts because I think it is such an important force, you know, to counteract the stuff that's thrown our way on TV. And, of course, radios has turned to shit long ago. And here's something that leaves room for personalities at no cost. You're basically making your own little radio show. And that's what Dixon James is. And I recognize fully that this is not everybody's cup of tea, that a lot of people would have already stopped listening by now. Like, okay, fuck, heard that guy. And look for something that appeals to their interest. And that's fine. That's great. That's the beauty of it. It's not meant for everybody. It's a multi-channel universe, right? You find the thing that turns you on. For example, I just switched to history television and watched a segment on museum secrets on the Franklin expedition. And it was just so interesting. I know it was a bit, you know, it wasn't deep. A lot of photos of the mummies they found. That's what it was getting to. That's what hooked everybody in. But just to explore that little bit of history, wow. That's just so fascinating. And great, if there were more people doing real history podcasts, I'd be into it, you know? This is just the Dixon James podcast is the story of a man maybe still coming to terms with his life at the age of 65 plus. Sorting out who he is, how he got to where he is, living a suburban life with a wife and 2 grown children, and thinking back often about his younger days of drifting and the adventures he had, and realizing now what a different world young people are living in compared to the one I grew up in, and already this becomes, in a way, a bit of a history podcast. Yeah, times are different then, man. I was in high school when the Beatles came out during Beatlemania. This was exciting. This was new. And I know for anybody else, yeah, we've heard about your fucking Beatles enough already. And I get that. That's fine. There's new stuff, too. It isn't about that. It's just I want to record that. I want to record that, what it meant. And I fail a lot on this particular podcast because I get so caught up in the present moment and what's happening now that I very seldom. And of course, the bigger issue is I have what appears to be something like adult ADD, you know, of just, I can't stick to any one topic. I can't just say, okay, here's a plan. This is what we're going to do. I just have to do, in what I like to think of as a Zen-like way, whatever is happening now and express whatever it is that needs to come out of me at this very moment as I speak, because I don't know which word is going to tumble after this word. You know, I just don't know where we're going. And to me, that's part of the fun of doing this. It's a brain dump. And I try to use my my voice and whatever else I've got to hold your interest just for a little bit anyway. So, enough of an explanation. I've gone through and I've apologized in a very indirect way for the fact that this isn't very focused and it may not be of much interest, but it's what I got to give, okay? All right, enough. Stop. Moving on. There is a topic that I want to explore. Again, on this last episode of Canadian Podcast Buffet, we talked about, or I talked about, my inability to reveal my true identity. But it's really the other way around. I'm wanting to think that as time goes on, Ken, that other me, the one who teaches for a living and has a business and, you know, fits into the real world very nicely, thank you, is wanting to grow into the Scarborough dude. I used to think it was the other way around. The Scarborough dude was a bit of an aberration, a bit of an offshoot, a spin-off, something else that was just a character. And then there's another, gradually, I mean, the merge is coming. It's not there yet, but the merge between Ken and the Scarborough dude is, we're very close to having that happen. And one of the biggest reasons I've kept them separate is I don't want my students to find this. And because simply that it would inhibit my freedom of expression. I would be thinking, wait a minute, this could be interpreted so many other ways, and the Ken who presents himself in the classroom is going to sound like, oh my God, some kind of an asshole who's just not really at all what or who we thought he was. You know, I had some respect for Ken the teacher. I certainly don't have any respect for this guy blabbing on. And that's hanging me up. It really is. The bigger picture, of course, is most of my views are politically incorrect, and I celebrate that, and I think that's very important to be that way. There's a lot of things I disagree with that are happening. I have very strong opinions. I've already come out as an atheist, and I'm very much in the evolutionary camp, and I find it, well, it's okay. I have no problem with somebody saying I'm of this religion or that religion, and I like to attend this service, and this makes me feel good. That's great. Good. Don't try and shove it down my throat, of course, which you don't. You know, most people don't feel that need. But maybe I have a little less respect for people who don't understand the freakiness of human evolution and the fact that it's all so very strange and this universe is all so very big and bewildering and unfathomable. Can't say that word. Unfathomable. Unfathomable, perhaps. That's just a grip on reality. And so, you know, come back and have your bake sales and do the nice things you want to do, as my parents did, my brother and sister do. No harm in that. But I also think religions very often cause a whole lot of shit and a whole lot of problems. And I guess really what bugs me the most, there's a lot of pig-headed, stupid, fucking ignorant people out there who just like to fight and kill. And this bothers me. And I always have to preface this, yes, well, I've grown up in Canada in a time of peace, in an age of peace. I've had all the blessings of a middle-class upbringing. Of course I'm a pacifist because I have everything to lose. It might not even be by nature. It's just that I was born into this, you know, post-war baby boomer, that I hardly have any choice other than to have the views that I do, that hate is wrong and killing is wrong and war is wrong. And how far do I really want to go with that? Like, would I really push to have troops sent to the Central Africa Republic to stop the fighting right there between the Christians and the Muslims or all the other places where there are war? Is it worth sacrificing our lives, people who are just like me, to stop other people who are just too stupid and backwards and ignorant? And right away somebody says, whoa, 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 are you categorizing a certain group of people that way? Yeah, I'm just saying there's a lot of blockheaded people who don't think, who are brought up, raised in religions not to think, raised in environments of hatred. And this is just plain wrong. And I'm absolutely firmly convinced, even though I was born into it, my outlook is right. How far will I go? What sacrifices will I make? And are there not bigger issues to deal with? You know, pollution and global warming and all these other things, and starvation around the world, and disease and chemicals in our foods. And oh my God, just let me live my life, please. So in other words, I'm owning up to a certain level of hypocrisy. How much am I really doing if I believe all this? To make this a better world. And it does come down to that, and you do have to ask yourself a question. And I like to think, well, maybe in some strange sliver of a way this podcast is contributing to the greater good. I don't know that. I couldn't prove how, really, because I don't know what impact it has on anybody. It certainly makes me feel better. But back to the point about keeping the identities separate, it's just that if there are so many people I wouldn't want to reveal this side of myself to, that, no, it's just simpler being, you know, Ken, that guy, and being honest and talking about how I really feel and think about things, which I think is this guy, the Scarborough dude, just is likely to cause too much trouble and disharmony. And I know down the road this is going to get to be a problem. And eventually, I keep putting it off, eventually those worlds have to meld. And it isn't some, maybe I'm making it sound like it's some great big thing. Well, to me it is. I mean, having two identities and keeping one separate from your real world, the world you live in most of the day, is strange in a way. I guess there's one issue I want to talk about, and maybe I've already gone too far into it, but let me raise it anyway. Ablution stations at colleges. Ablution, I think that's it. This is a place where you go to wash your feet, because if you are of a certain religion, and of course that religion would be Islam, you have to wash your feet before your prayers. Yes, I took a picture when I was at the college, Humber College, ablution stations for prayer and ritual washing. And I took a photo, and I'll probably use that as my photo here. Beautifully done. I mean, it's all shiny, creamy, off-white enamel. It's like a set of stairs. See the picture. Check the picture that goes with this podcast. You sit on it. There's a nice tap and a faucet. You put your feet here, you wash your feet, and then you go off for your prayers. And this was in a new building. These look like they're brand new. I'm just looking at that and thinking, holy fuck, what did it cost to outfit that? And my worry is, this is for one particular reason. This is a public college. This, nobody else has to wash their fucking feet. I'm sorry. This is for one particular religion at a community college here in Toronto. My college has them, although not as fancy as this. But once everybody sees this, once this is given, every new college building that goes up is going to, somebody's going to say, we have to have it. This is going to become. Now, this is not, we're not talking about handicap washrooms and wheelchair access and, you know, places where people can get into. I mean, I'm sorry if handicap washroom is the wrong word. You know what I mean? A place that somebody in a wheelchair can easily access and get into and use at their convenience and get out of without any trouble. This is strictly put in out of college under some budget. I don't remember ever seeing any discussion about this, but of course I'm not involved in that level of decision making. But it strikes me as outrageous. And I'm just thinking, well, whoa, if they're doing this in colleges, is our high schools next? Hey, if we've got a certain population of people who need to wash their feet before prayers five times a day, how many actually use these? What is the cost of this? And why is it funded at a public college, university that is non-denominational, has nothing to do with any religion of any kind. Why is this necessary? Why is one religion dictating this, or people representing that religion? I don't get it. There is a separate prayer room, certainly in my college, and I'm sure if you have these ablution stations, you have to have a prayer room somewhere where people can go after washing their feet. I just think this is outrageous. It's wrong, and I know somebody so easily, for example, at my fucking college, if they heard this, would say, you bigoted, Islamophobe, you crazy, biased, you and your white prejudice, your middle-class white Canadian values are all wrong. This is just simply an extension of our tolerance, and this is multiculturalism. That's what this is all about. How could you begrudge these certain washrooms? Well, I do, and I strongly oppose it. I know a lot of other people who even knew them. I'm sure a lot of people don't even know about this, because they certainly weren't around when I was in college, and you could say, oh, well, that's because things are better now than they used to be. Well, the problem is, I take a stand like this, and somebody is sure to put me in with Pauline Marois, who just lost her seat and the election for the Parti Québécois last night. I'm kind of glad, happy to see a Liberal government come back in and just hope they clean up the corruption and do better for the students. Yes, we don't have time to get into the election last night, but it was a big victory for the people of Quebec, I would say. Lots, although I know there's a few postings that some aren't happy about it. Anyway, they're the ones who tried to put in this platform of there would be no religious signs of any kind. You know, you can't wear the hijab, and you couldn't be showing a giant cross, and you can't wear a turban if you are a public servant. If you are serving the public, you are not allowed to display anything representing your religion. And a lot of people had trouble with that, and most of Canada had trouble with that. And there would be pictures of nurses wearing a headscarf or something, saying, hey, you know, we're professionals, we're doing a job, we're part of Quebec. And this was a very narrow-minded point of view from the Parti Québécois to say, no, this is just for us, the originals, the real French, the real people of this country called Quebec. And I think people might take my position and try and lump it in with there, oh, I'm just biased and bigoted. No, I think this is a separate issue. It's to do with finances. It's to do with keeping religion out of colleges and universities. It's nothing to do with what anybody wears. My God, you walk down the hall in Ice College and you will see every possible attire of any kind. That's not the issue. It is simply the issue of revamping washrooms so that a certain group of people, a minority, I am quite sure, can have access to foot washing stations. I don't get it. I don't believe it's necessary. And if that's wrong, please correct me. Please educate me. Please tell me why I am so far off the mark on this. All right? And that is precisely why, as of this date, I am unable to blend the Scarborough Dude and Ken the Teacher into one happy package. The day is coming. The day is coming. But not just yet. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back at you real soon. Meanwhile, I gotta go to that very college and get started on some more lesson plans. Bye for now.
Will you stay in a love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in a love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. We bought a lot of things to keep you warm and dry, and a funny old crib on which the paint won't dry. I bought you a pair of shoes, a trumpet you can blow, and a book of rules of what to say to people when they pick on you. 'Cause if you stay with us, you're gonna be pretty cookie too. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. And if you ever have to go to school, remember how they messed up this old fool. Don't pick fights with the bullies or the cats, 'cause I'm not much cop at punching other people's dads. And if the homework brings you down, then we'll throw it on the fire and take the car downtown. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance.
Don't fast forward. That's just sort of a transition clip. I really wanted to say how much this means to me, going back and having these old songs at my time. Okay, let's say 74. Like, what's that? 30, 40 years ago were just turning me on so much. It represented, I guess, just another part of my life, my youth. It was brilliant. I love this stuff. It's very, very well written, good orchestration, and Bowie was fantastic. But that aside, I've got a long list of to-do things. You know that. I talk about it all the time. I've got insurance. I've got to deal with this month. I've got my company, 100 checklist item for my students coming this summer. On and on and on it goes. The college reports to write. And I have all day Monday off. And I think, okay, Sunday, no, Sunday's my day. It's day off. Monday, I'll do this stuff. And Monday comes, and I spent a very long time on the Petro Canada website choosing which songs I was going to download, listening to them all, going back to early Stones. Oh, I want that. Oh, I'd like to get that. Going all over the place. Hours. And today, I realize how much pleasure that's just giving me. Like, right now, as I listen to this stuff, I'm just flipped out by it. I think, wow, yeah, of course I did that. Because I love it. It makes me satisfied. And my point is that sometimes I don't know which, drive ourselves and think, okay, I've got to do this. There are things I have to do. Well, I know I'm eventually going to get around to doing all the things that absolutely have to be done. I can do that. I will do it. It's not like I'm skipping it. And maybe I'll run into a little bit of trouble because I should have started earlier. And oh my God, why didn't you do that sooner? But sometimes in life, you've just got to go with what counts? What's important to you? What's your gut telling you? And my gut said, fuck it, man. You can do that shit another time. And I know that sounds juvenile. You say, well, that's not the sign of a mature adult. You got responsibility. You got things you got to do. Discipline yourself, man. Follow the rules. Follow the regulations. And I'm kind of glad that at 65, I'm still fighting. The other voice is saying, fuck you. I want to listen to David Bowie. That's what I want to do now, and that's what I did back then, 30, 40 years ago. That was what was important, and it's important to me now. And I know for some people, this may be laughable. What an idiot. You know, no wonder you're still having to work and you don't have a nice pension plan like your friends. Yeah, because I didn't choose that path. I went out to Vancouver and had a wild time. I didn't join the factory, the job, the fit in and do everything I was supposed to do at the time, okay? I took a different path. That's me. And I think this whole podcast is about coming to terms with accepting yourself. And sometimes that's a very hard thing to do because we load ourselves up with guilt and with societal pressures and all these other things. And I'm saying this to tell you out there that it's good to push back. It's good to listen to your inner voice and say, hey, I don't want to do that now. This is what I want. Because it is your life, and you do get one crack at it. And if going back and finding some old music that brings you back to your youth is going to make you happy, then be fucking happy! Sorry, I know, I even as I say this, the other voice is trying to shut me up and say, no, don't say that, don't say it, you sound stupid, you sound like an idiot. There is still a battle going on, and maybe that's why I feel it's so important to tell you this, to show you that even I'm going through this trouble. It doesn't come easy, like I'm just flowing through and it's all about love and ease and peace, man, and just go where the good vibes are. No, it's about the battles we fight for conformity, for adherence to rules, for trying to follow somebody else's agenda. And waking up to the fact that, wait a minute, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Who is in the driver's seat if you're not? Who is forcing, pushing, guiding your life if it's not you? Okay, so that's all I want to say. And now I'm going to go into college and put on my other head and fit in and say the right things and smile at people and get on with making a living.
Dragons have been bled. Gentleness is everywhere. Fear is just in your head. Only in your head. Fear is in your head. Only in your head. So forget your head and you'll be free. The writing's on the wall. Free, yeah. And you can know it all if you choose. Just remember, lovers never lose. 'cause they are free of thoughts, unpure and of thoughts unkind. Gentleness clears the soul. Love will clean your mind and make you free.
Titled, You Feel So Lonely You Could Die. And that is from David Bowie's The Next Day Extra. Just turn that down a bit. I think it's the last cut on the double album. Yeah. Scarborough Dude back at you from the Eglinton Go parking lot, and you usually know what that means, don't you? Yeah, I'm going to be drunk and ornery and scramble my words and so on, but that's not the case tonight. I only had two beer, actually, a pint of delicious, excellent St. Ambrose Stout. My pronunciation is really off these days. St. Ambrose Stout, anyway, you know the one. I believe it's from Montreal originally. I don't know. At the Imperial Pub, where I went in to meet the Vinyl Countdown boys. And it was one of those cases, much like downloading all this David Bowie, spending all the time on the internet. Oh, yeah, I should be working, but, you know, I'd really like to explore this music. All the crap that they got here that I could have and listen to. And, wow, there's a memory. So, Wednesday, got the word from both Keith and no longer Fat Joel that they're recording tonight, back room in the Imperial Pub, where it first started. Yeah, I remember that. We used to have those live podcaster nights at the Imperial Pub, and that's the birthplace of the Vinyl Countdown. And so, one voice, you know, Ken says, no, stay home. It's Wednesday night, got shit to do tomorrow. Scarborough Dude saying, yeah, but, you know, if you just stay home, which is very comfortable, you know, watch TV, put your feet up, have a glass of wine or a beer, snack. Yeah, you're fine, you're okay. And the other voice, maybe Scarborough Dude, actually, you know, it might have been Ken's voice saying, man, you're growing old. And one sign of really getting old is when you just stop going out. Nah, it's just easier to stay home. That's always a worry. And secondly, maybe this was Scarborough Dude giving advice to Ken. Man, there's going to come a day when you just can't fucking get in your car and drive to the GO station and hop on a train and grab a subway and walk into the Imperial Pub like you own the fucking place. You know, You just can't do it. Well, you need help with this or that, or your arthritis is too bad, or your back aches too much, or fuck, man, I'm confused. How do I get there? That day is coming when you just can't even fucking go out. And goddamn it, do not go gentle into that good goddamn night. No siree. Push. Push. Push! You gotta do it, man. So I went. I was sensible. I only had two beer. I told you that. The Imperial, or not the, well, the stout at the Imperial. and a bottle of booze. I noticed one of the crew, first time I met him, not the other Keith, another guy, was drinking these big bottles of booze. Big bottles of booze. So I had myself a big bottle of booze, and I got in there on the first recording, and I was going to just remain silent, just sit and listen, and then Picard 102 asked me a dirty question, which I refused to answer. You got to listen to this, the vinyl countdown if you want to know. Then I just turned the table slightly, you know, played an 8-card. Remember the game of 99? We used to play that when we were stoned, man. Oh, so much fun. Face cards, you know, and you're trying to get up to 99, but you can't go past 99. So if you play a 10 when you're at 99, well, because you're adding up the value of the cards, right? And when you're high, it's really exciting. You play a 10, whoa, drops it down to 89. Well, that just gives the guy who's got kings in his hand to get rid of a king. Bam, 99, back to you. Holy fuck. And if you can't play a card, you're out. If you got an ace, that's a 1 or 11. So if it's 88, you can play an ace and get 99. Or you can make it 89. And bam, that guy's going to pull down a queen. It's 99. And you play a 10, back down to 89. And he plays a 9, 99. You play an 8, whoa, change the playing order. It's back down the other way. And the guy plays another 10. It's back down to 89. And you play a 7, which reverses a digit. Holy fuck, it's 98. And the guy pulls down an ace, 99. And you're out. Great game, great game. Really, really exciting. God, I can't believe I didn't have a token. I only had 2 beer because I'm feeling high right now, I'll tell you. Whoa, yeah. Must be this vibe at the Eglinton Go parking lot. I just pull in here and I'm high. God damn it, eh? I didn't think that it'd be like this at all. I thought I'd be perfectly sensible. Anyway, it was really fun. I could not possibly keep up with those young bucks. Bizarre, that show. Holy Christ, you never know what you're going to hear. But those guys do it really well. They play off each other and they know the game and they've got a groove going. It's a work of art. I mean, it's live theater again. Like I say about everything in life, it's live theater. But they pull it off. They do it well. And you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea. A lot of people would say, "I don't want to hear about guys wiping their bums." But that was my topic, by the way. I said we'd... never mind. Anyway, go listen to Vinyl Countdown. Whatever episode. And that was it. So I came home, timed it right. Said, nope, man, I got to get that 12:13 train. That's the last train home. I'm taking it. And bully for me, because here I am. And that's all I wanted to share with you. Just that little bit about push. Is it push? It's not pull. Don't be pulled by people. Push yourself. Don't be pulled by others, but push yourself. I guess that's my message. Oh, by the way, we had 2 birthdays coming up. No longer fat Squid Pod Joel. He's got a birthday on the 27th. I got one on the 25th. Now, I was going to have a party on the 26th. Squid Pod Joel says, well, I'm having a party on the 27th at his house. Now, Picard, of course, says nobody's going to go. Well, fuck, I was planning on going. But I was planning on having a party of my own. I'm thinking, you know, dude, if you would just get together with Squidball Joel, no longer fat, and say, why don't we have a combo party? Trouble is, No. Don't do it, dude. That would get so out of hand. I'd have to send my wife away for the weekend. I really would. I have to give her a ticket to Montreal or Ottawa or something, said, look, just, you don't want to be around, because she wouldn't want to be around. And I already warned them, you know, I got other friends of various backgrounds, and I don't know how it would mesh. And this is my biggest fear, you know? The Vinyl Countdown, they can be an abrasive bunch, you know? Love them all. I'm comfortable with them. I don't know if everybody is. So I just keep backing off, weaseling out, and I'm troubled by it. I'm sharing it with you. I'm going, this is further than I would normally go. Normally I wouldn't even own up to this shit. But I keep talking about having this party at my house for my 66th birthday. And the other voices say, no. Go to a bar, go to the eating house, do something simple. But don't have everybody over. You can do that another time. But I'm going to be gone all August. I'm going to be busy all July. I don't know when it's going to happen, but, you know, it doesn't have to be your birthday. You can have a little party. So I don't know. Stay tuned. You're all invited. Oh, fuck you, you are. But, anybody within reasonable distance. Just let me know. Give me a heads up if you're planning on coming, all right? Anyway, don't go to my house at... Until I put the word out there. Now, I think that one's in the bag. Anyway, I've said more than I should have. I'll just go to Joel's party. Yeah. And the trouble is, not gonna go there. No. All right, boys, girls, signing off. Bye for now from the Eglinton Go parking lot. Checking in, and you can hear from those honkers that, the dude must be in Bluffers Park. Oh, it's beautiful. They're greeting each other like two pairs. Hey, guys, haven't seen you for a while. Oh, it's beautiful. I'm in actually a different area. This is the beachside area, only if you hang a right, instead of going to the beach, you hang a right, you can get to this little lighthouse. And I just sat there in the glorious sunshine on this beautiful, chilly, windy spring day and enjoyed me some David Bowie. Oh, man. You know, I was reflecting, as I am wont to do, especially on this podcast, about how trivial some of this might sound. Dude, I mean, some old guy, and all I can talk about is downloading some old music using his petrol points and what that meant to him. And that's exactly right, folks, because as trivial as it may sound to some of you, it's life-changing. Oh, yeah. No, and by life-changing, I mean the constant battle. Listening to this music, as I've done on this walk, has just brought joy to my heart, has reconnected me with my youthful self, my young self. And it's not like this wish to be young again, but to remember who you are and what turned you on, what made you happy. Sometimes I think we can, or it's possible to get into sort of a twilight zone of, as we get older, and just everything starts fading. And to me, and my lesson to you youngsters out there listening is don't grow old so quickly. Accept it when it comes, when you can no longer move and ambulate yourself. Just fight that good fight as long as you can. But enjoy yourself. Take the time. That's always a message, regardless of your age. It's nothing to do with old age. Just take the time to do the things you like to do. Do the things that make you happy and give you some joy. And honestly, listening to this music, like with the earbuds in and cranked up, man, it just feels so good. And I'm going to get right back to it as soon as I hang up from you, because it's making me happy. God, you know, that seemed so much more important when I was thinking it, now that I've actually put the words into words. Oh, how important is all that? Well, I got a big fucking smile on my face. That counts. That counts. It's a lovely day to be walking in the park. It's a Thursday. I've got the morning off. I've got business to take care of at 6 o'clock. Meet a new principal. You know, boy, Scarborough would stay behind. This is Ken's job. And then address a group of parents to find host families and do all the serious stuff. But, you know, I enjoy that, too, because I'm pretty good at it. I can play that game very well, make myself real presentable. And that's just one more reason why, if some of the people who don't know me were to hear about this guy first, the Scarborough dude, they would not want to know Ken. And that's always going to be a problem. I had this conversation, continued this conversation with Joel last night, Squid Pod Joel, at the final countdown gathering. Nice to get a chance to talk to him. And he said, well, maybe a year from now, like when you're retiring, when you're just not going back for more jobs, and maybe that is the case. Because I really do want to merge Ken and the Scarborough dude and find out who's who and which one's which. Well, and boy, this has been a constant theme, if anything. And maybe, and I think there are more truths out there than I have yet to even consider digging up. You know, I think there's a lot more to explore here on this whole question of identity and interacting with others. I realize that I'm probably going to, one of the things here, get back to this party thing. And I've been talking about, you know, last night I talked to a couple of people about it, including Picard 102. I don't know that my Vinyl Countdown friends would mix well with some of the other friends I have. And I want a party, if I'm going to have a party, that's in a little bit of harmony. So I'm thinking, no, what I should do is have separate parties. For example, this Saturday, I'm thinking of inviting my Costa Rica student friends over to my house for a few beer and to work on a project that I actually have to work on for the college. That'd be one. And then another time, have just a separate Vinyl Countdown party. Invite the boys over to my house. The boys and the girls, hopefully. The bitch cakes. That's a party in itself. There's so goddamn many of them. Last night they had to put four tables together to do a recording. And have that as a separate thing, which would be fun, you know? I could keep an eye on them that way. They wouldn't offend anybody because they've only got themselves to offend. And boy, they've already stretched the limits on that one. It's actually quite hilarious. And I don't know why I enjoy that group so much, because everybody in the world should be offended by them, but something about it. I think it's the real thing. I think it's part of this, maybe even, dare I say, an underground movement. Underground because nobody above ground knows who they are. They're not all that famous. They're just famous in this little world of ours that we're creating, in the act of creating. So, yes, I am wandering, but it's a happy dude you're listening to right now on this sunny day. I've got myself a nice bench. There's a little narrow jutting outpost. So, to my left, I'm looking at all the yachts, many of them wrapped in plastic, sitting up on land, not yet in the water, just waiting for the day and the this fancy yacht club, which I've never been into. I'd like to get an invite sometime. And then the other side, just a very short distance away, I mean like a spit away, I could throw a rock into the water right now, is the grand waters of Lake Ontario, with the sun shining brightly on them. So it's a nice spot. I'm glad I came here. I drove my son into school today, and you know what? Sometimes I talk about, oh my God, the difference is getting him out of bed. Well, today was no problem getting him out of bed, nor was Monday. And when we have the drive to school, we talk. He puts on, like, he grabs the red cord and plugs in his phone and plays his rap music. But we have a discussion, and we have very different views. Today, you know, I'm defending socialism, and he's defending capitalism. Like, we dig in our heels there, and we just sort of seem to have different opinions on everything, including the Pistorius, the fastest man on plastic wheels trial. I say the guy, the bastard's guilty and needs 20 years in jail. He's not so sure. I mean, everybody knows he killed his wife, but why? Anyway, as he left, as he just got out of the car, grabbed his cell phone and his music and went on into the college, I said, you know, I actually enjoy these conversations, that it's good that we have different views and we can share these opinions. And even though we have very different views, I respect your ability, I guess. I don't know what the exact words were, but just to voice your opinion and to challenge me. And it was a very good feeling. So I need to get that out there, because I mean, maybe it sometimes sounds like I'm always clashing. And yeah, there are a lot of clashes and a lot of concerns. But there's also just a lot of respect and a lot of pride. I'm proud of the fact that I have two sons. I'm glad that I got married. I'm very glad that this Ken guy engineered his life in such a way that he's ended up in a pretty goddamn nice situation. And yet, I'm also very goddamn glad, pardon, I guess that's unnecessary to say. Who am I apologizing to? Really? Sorry. Fuck you if you're offended. I'm just very, very glad that I still get to be me. That I haven't lost my identity in my marriage, in my fatherhood, in my job. That the guy who just wants to get through life and have a good time and be excited and be turned on is still with us. And I guess that's something I do think about a lot, because, you know, the day will come when you're at somebody else's mercy, you know? You're locked up in a room. Somebody's spoon-feeding you. Holy fuck. Kill me before then. Let me go like my dad. Big, massive heart attack. Boom. Dead before you hit the floor. Game over. And just hope it's not too messy. I have another friend whose father died right at the Thanksgiving dinner table. Boom, head down into the plate, dead at the dinner table. really not bad ways to go. You know, it's a bit of a shock for everybody, of course, as it was a shock for my poor brother, who was the one who drove my father to Montreal for that last gathering of his old buddies. And never made it past the introductory stage. I think the word is shook hands with somebody and dropped dead. Anyway, I got. We're just about done here. I've shared a few tunes with you. I am absolutely loving. I've got so much Bowie because my wife likes him too. So I've been buying. I've got Heathen and I've got other ones. And to go through, just take the time to listen to music, to listen to the words, to listen to the sound, to listen to that wonderful sax that Bowie likes to put in his music, and enjoy it the way I used to enjoy it 40 years ago in Vancouver, man. And 45 years ago, it was all about music, those early days. Music with the aid of a little hashish, of course, which always made it goddamn so much more powerful, and it just drew you in, and you got lost in the sounds. Man, you're out in space with Pink Floyd and the Moody Blues, and you're just grooving on those Beatles lyrics, and you're happy about the sun shining, and everything is good. Oh, yeah. So, here's to celebrating life and enjoying the things you enjoy. And God damn it, if anybody out there is listening and you're not enjoying yourself and you're finding yourself in a dark space and unhappy and you don't see a bright sunshine up on the horizon, maybe tomorrow, then you better do something. You better do something about your life. You better take care of yourself somehow and go after that mental health and find the things that do give you some happiness and joy because this is it. This is your life. Oh, yeah. Scarborough Dude signing out. Bye for now. See you next week. See you next week. Oh, yeah, I'll be back. You don't have to listen, but I'll be back. Oh, yeah. Bye for now.